You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am not Paul Feinbaum. I am instead ESPN reporter David Hale. I'm very sorry that you're going to be with me for the next 4 hours, but please don't change the station yet. We've got some great calls coming up, and the more you call, of course, the less you'll have to hear from me. And we've got some great guests coming up. Dave Wilson will be joining us live from Big 12 Media Day. We'll nerd out with Bill Connolly from ESPN. But first up, I think we've got arguably the best-looking coach in college football, Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman, who is up in New York hanging out with other ESPN folks. Marcus, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me. You know, I appreciate the compliment. I'm going to make sure my wife hears that.
Look, at least top five. It's not really me to judge, but yes.
Don't back down now. Leave it at late. Don't back the number down now.
That's fair. I was being very anti-Paul right now. I need to make the hot take and stick with it despite any sort of arguments. So I got to ask you, you're up in New York talking to journalists today. We are deep into talking season now. Big 12 Media Days going on. SEC Media Days starts next week. Right before talking season, though, for you coaches is vacation season. How much were you dreading having to get back in front of microphones and cameras and talking to all of us?
Not much at all. You know, you go to, you spend about 8 days in Hawaii with your wife and 6 kids, and you're pretty eager to get back. And so, you know, everybody kept calling it a vacation. I don't know, man. It was a lot of work being in Hawaii with 6 kids.
I don't know how. See, that's the best training you can get for being a head coach, where you've got to manage, you know, 120 guys is 6 kids on a vacation. So I have a lot of respect for you. Well, look, last year was, I think, a very interesting season for you specifically at Notre Dame. The way that it started, I'm sure, was not how you would have scripted it. The rebound was very good. A few games I'm sure you wish you had had back. A few games that you looked really good, particularly the Clemson game where you just kind of blew the doors off of the Tigers. You come away from last year, did you feel like you learned a lot from the experience? Are you a different coach heading into year two than you were in year one as head coach there?
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount. And there's nothing like going through the actual season, right? And you can't, there's no playbook for the things that are come across. And as I've always said, the journey's never as you foresee it on the front end. And, you know, as you look back at last year, I think we did, and I did as the leader, you're most growing through those difficult times. And you never wish to lose to, you know, that Marshall game was extremely tough, and the Stanford game, and any loss is tough. But, you know, as you look back, you really see the growth that our team and myself as a leader made after those tough times.
Well, you go through some learning experiences, but another one that you have to go through this offseason is a change at offensive coordinator. When Tommy leaves for Alabama, what's kind of your first – do you have a list that you have at that time? Are you looking to stay internal? Did you look outside the program? Are you trying to keep things as similar for your quarterbacks as possible? What's the mindset when you've got to replace an OC like that?
Well, I think it you always have a list. The timing, I didn't say I was a little bit caught off surprised. You know, but Tommy did an unbelievable job, and when he decides to leave, you say, okay, man, what is the next steps to replacing that guy? And you look internally, you look externally, and what I wanted to do is the only thing I wanted to make sure we kept some type of pro-style type offense. And when I say pro-style, I'm talking terminology. I'm talking concepts. I'm not talking two backs, run the ball downhill and you know, try to run the clock out. But I want to make sure we can keep the terminology and keep our concepts the same offensively, because I think we owe it to our players to help them translate to the NFL if they're good enough to make that transition. And so, like our season, it was an interesting journey. right? And that we betted a couple guys and we looked at a couple guys, and ultimately we came back and we hired the right guy that was in our building, and we promoted Jarrett Parker, who was our tight ends coach, to be our offense coordinator. And I can't tell you how pleased I am with one, the relationship he's truly gained with the players on offense, but also what their production has been throughout the spring and as we've gotten to the summer.
Well, you mentioned the pro-style offense and preparing guys for the NFL, and I think this is particularly fascinating given the quarterback that you have, because Sam Hartman essentially rewrote ACC record books playing in what a lot of people would describe as certainly a unique offensive scheme at Wake Forest. How much was the idea of prepping for the NFL, of showcasing your skill set in a pro-style offense, part of the sales pitch to Sam when you were recruiting him there, and what has that fit looked like so far?
Well, I think that's the one of the main points we made when Sam Hartman got into the portal and we said, hey, we are going to look for the best quarterback available that can help us win, that fits our locker room and fits our team and our university. Sam did that, number one, as a person. He was the type of person we needed in our locker room. But two, the ability to sell him on, hey, man, this is a pro-style type offense. This is something that will help you as you transition to the NFL. But also, you know, this is a program that's going to compete for national championships. That's our goal, and we want you a part of this thing. And so it was a perfect fit. He's done an unbelievable job of one, coming in and you know, everybody knows how accomplished he is. But the ability for him to come in and be humble and gain the trust of his teammates. And then the leadership traits started to really exemplify, and he makes those guys on offense better. He's experienced, but he's super talented. And so we hit a home run with Sam Hartman.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think this time of year quarterbacks obviously get all the attention because we're all waiting to see what else you've got. But I tend to look at when I'm evaluating teams, quarterback, of course, is one of those things. But the O-line and the D-line to me always jump out as, like, if you're good there, you're going to, I think, be pretty good. And it looks like you guys are going to be pretty good at the line of scrimmage. Do you feel like that is sort of the foundation you're building on for this year?
Yeah, I think that's been my vision from the minute I became head coach, is that I want to be O-line and D-line driven. And Notre Dame has been known throughout the history of the program of having great O-linemen, and obviously those guys are still playing in the NFL. And so, you know, we have three returning starters on offensive line. You know, our two tackles are going to go on their third year of starting, and their special players, our center, Zeke Correll, is back. And then, you know, we have a couple battles for the guard spots. And then defensively, we lose Isaiah Foskey, is the 40th overall pick, but you know, other than that, the guys that are coming back have all played. We got a transfer from Ohio State named Javonte Jean-Baptiste, has done great things. So I feel really strong about, you know, the depth and the experience of our offensive line and defensive line.
Is there a concern that you have as you get ready to start fall camp? Is there a big thing that you are sort of have had on your, since the end of spring, had at the top of your list of like, man, I hope we'll have seen this by the start of fall camp, or we need to focus on this early? Or do you kind of go in some ways almost the same way as you do at the start of spring and let's start from scratch and see where we're at?
You know, I don't think we're at a different point now than we were in the spring. And then the things that our players can do in the summer, you don't have to start back over. But it's the ability to make sure that you get everything checked off of on your checklist, and not just say that you did in practice, but that we perfected. And that's going to be our challenge, is to make sure that, you know, over these course of 4 weeks of training camp, that we're prepared as we go into Dublin, Ireland for our first game versus Navy. And we know if we've hit these situations, we know we've talked about them, we've perfected them in practice, and really define what the culture of this team will be. You know, I have a vision as a head coach of what I want to see from this football team, but we're going to see over the course of this training camp really who we become.
All right, last question I'll get you out of here with. You got to face the Heisman winner last year in Caleb Williams, and you got to face a guy who will probably be his top competition this year in Drake May last year. What's your evaluation of those two guys, and you think Sam Hartman will beat both of them?
Well, you know, you think about last year, you had the quarterback from Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, right?
Yeah,
you had him
not
into
so bad
it, too.
Either.
Yeah, you know, we faced some extremely talented quarterbacks last year, and you know, that's going to be every year with our schedule. We're going to play some of the best teams in the country, the best quarterbacks in the country, and we look forward to those challenges. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but, you know, I feel like we have a special quarterback that's going to lead us to, you know, great heights. And as I've told him, his job isn't to lead us to win every game we play. It's just to help us reach our full potential. And part of that is making his teammates better. Part of that is through his experience, making sure everybody knows that this is the expectation, the standard for our Notre Dame offense. And so I'm excited to have the one we have and looking forward to the competition we face this year.
All right, Mark, it's been a pleasure to chat. Congratulations on surviving grueling vacation season. It'll all be a cakewalk from here. We'll see you in the playoff.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. We'll be back talking with Marcus Freeman's quarterback, Sam Hartman, after the break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back into the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am David Hale from ESPN. We'll be taking your calls in just a bit. Please do call because otherwise I've got to fill a lot of time. So I need your information. I'm unqualified for this job. Someone who is qualified for his job, though, we welcome in now. Notre Dame starting quarterback. It feels weird. I've covered the ACC for a while, and so it feels very weird to say Notre Dame starting quarterback, Sam Hartman. Sam, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It does sound weird to hear you say it as well. So feelings are very mutual.
I'm thinking about the last time I got to see you in person was in Charlotte at the end of last season. And you said something real interesting. We have the sound from that. So I want to play this for you. And then on the back end, I want to get your reaction. So let's listen to what you had to say.
Everything transpires in early August. And 5 weeks later, you're playing football in Nashville, man. What was that 5 weeks like?
It was surreal, I would say. You know, I think going to school like Wake Forest, you know, you hear from a lot of these players that come up here, you know, the gratefulness of the, you know, the academic school that they went to. And I think for me, Wake Forest was Wake Forest Baptist and the medical facilities and my parents that are here that are medical, in the medical world, to have the resources and the capabilities to, you know, diagnose and basically surgically remove a rib. That's now sitting in my fridge, not to gross anyone out.
I've got ribs in my fridge too, but it's not mine.
Hang on.
Yeah,
hang
no,
on.
But it's actually my rib. You know, there's little meat on it too.
So wait, stop.
So for anyone who's eating in the crowd, I'm sorry, but stop. I'm actually not. Because I had to drop that. You know, that's my like, you know, party fact now for the rest of my life. But
you want to see a rib?
Yeah, you want to see a rib. So I'm going to get it made into a necklace. So that's probably, I'm going to get it. No, I'm serious.
Are you serious about that?
Dr. Hartman, please, Dr. Hartman.
Dr. Hartman approved of
please.
It.
So
that's Wes Durham and Roddy Jones. Roddy Jones also with ribs in his fridge. Sam, how's the rib doing? Have you made the necklace? And what is the actual response you get from most people when you share this this party fact with folks?
The rib is good. It's actually clean. It looks like a fossil type deal. It is well on its way to becoming a necklace. I think we're about, you know, a couple weeks out from finalizing it. You know, we're just making sure we take great care of it and make sure that it stays in one piece. I think it's a lot of disbelief. Like a lot of my teammates here, it's kind of a
they don't always know. I guess you sometimes assume that people know your story and how much it sometimes gets told, but it is a fun fact, and guys kind of will be like, there's no way, and then I have to show them the scar, and then ultimately they'll ask to see a picture of it, and they immediately regret asking to see a picture of a human rib not inside the body. So, but it's good and well. It's safe.
All right, I want to talk about actual football with you, but I gotta, how do you find a rib necklace guy? Are you going like through the Googling, like who can put my rib, turn my rib into a necklace?
Yeah, I started with that, and the FBI showed up. No, I'm just kidding. my mom actually is handling it for me, which is, shout out to mom as always, you know, the angel. She, you know, worked as a nurse in, you know, labor, delivery, intensive care, and so she really, I mean,
had she's seen not, worse.
Yeah, she's seen worse, I would say, and so she kind of, you know, took the bull by the horns and. I asked her to try and make it kind of like a puka shell type deal with, you know, the rib like a shark's tooth at the end, and it's pretty close to almost being done. We might see it pop out on like on a walk or right before the game or something, but it won't be worn a lot.
Well, this is something to be excited about for the season. But something else to be excited about is you at Notre Dame. And again, as I mentioned, it feels weird because you were at Wake Forest for, I haven't looked this up, but I believe 26 years. And, yeah. I mean, synonymous with the program, really, over the last few years. How hard was it for you to say, like, look, I'm going to come back for another year and I want to see what I can do in a new place?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was extremely difficult. But, I mean, also – I do believe I wanted to play football again, and I'd made it clear to Wake that I wasn't going to be back that year to Wake in any real possibility of that happening. So I don't think it was anything too much a surprise to them. It was more for myself to play the sport I love and have a good opportunity to do that and prepare for the NFL and also play at Notre Dame. I mean, I think that kind of sentence explains itself in the history and the precedence of the Golden Helmet, the Golden Dome, Touchdown Jesus, and all the greats that, you know, have played before me and will play after me. I thought, what an opportunity, what a place to play, and what a way to end a very overdrawn out career.
Well, we've enjoyed every minute of it. Don't say it's overdrawn out. It's been great for us. Well, so you talked about preparing and bettering your skill set and going to Notre Dame. We just talked to Coach Freeman a little bit about what that pro style offense could mean for you and your development. But of course, one of the things that happens, you get out to Notre Dame, and then not too long after that, the OC who you were planning to play for there leaves and goes to Alabama. What was that like for you to go through that? Are you starting to think like, whoa, maybe I made a bad decision here? Or were you comfortable with everything that was around you that you knew the right guy was coming in?
No, I mean, I think it kind of just like the man you just interviewed, I think he really instilled one of the reasons why I chose Notre Dame is just who he is and his transparency through the whole process. I mean, I think we know good and well how college football is at this point, and with the transfer portal and then coaching changes and just this, that, and the other, that as Coach Freeman always says, is the bumpy road the better. And I think, you know, it was a good opportunity for me to take this challenge on. And again, something that I'm not too it's nothing that I'm not used to, of just things not always going the right way. And again, it was an opportunity to grow as a leader and to really grow as a quarterback, where, you know, new system, new place, and then, okay, well, new coach as well, on top of basically having a new coach already. And I think it also spoke to the locker room. I think the locker room really, came together and understood that, yeah, we might have lost somebody, but we can grow from it and be even better for it. And it gave me an opportunity to kind of take a step back and really hone in on, you know, my teammates and learning them. And because, again, it's going from Wake to Notre Dame, you're around the same guys for five years, and you kind of know everybody's ins and outs like the back of your hand. And then you get up to Notre Dame, you walk in, you don't know a single guy's name, or you know a couple guys' names. And so that was also a good opportunity for me to, while we were in the search, of just being able to focus on, you know, my team and getting better for them.
So I'm going to guess I will be the first and only person to ever ask you about this. But you've got on November 4th a game against Clemson, and then 2 weeks later after an off week, a game against Wake Forest. I know in the season it gets going, you don't want to look ahead too much, but how much time have you thought about, like, A, what it's going to be like to get another chance at Clemson, and B, what it's going to be like to play against your old team at Wake Forest all the way out into November?
I mean, I think there's, you know, a few thoughts at it, and obviously the Clemson one is a great opportunity against a great opponent, and again, like you said, I've been playing the ACC for so long. I've had five opportunities at them, and, you know, fortunately I get a sixth, and it's also at their place, which is makes it even more of a challenge. And then, yeah, the Wake Forest one's tough. It'll be tough all around. I mean, I think you're at a place for so long. You know everybody on the team other than the new guys that have just showed up in the summer. You'll know, I mean, it's a big game for both teams, and obviously every game at that late in the season is going to be a big one. So, like you probably heard me say before, it's a one-week season, and we'll attack each game like it's, you know, the biggest game of the year, and that's the plan for both of those and every other one on the schedule.
So I'm curious, what constitutes success for you this year as you go into year six, a year that I'm sure you weren't exactly planning on having?
I mean, I think first and foremost is just, again, getting back to where I felt I had the respect of the team at Wake up at Notre Dame. And I think it's not to compare the two schools. It's more of just at each school, you're going to reach kind of the top of the mountain of leadership and respect on your team. And I mean, I think something I always think about is just, you know, you have guys that play with you and you have guys that play for you. And I think the number one thing for me right now is to get the team to play for me. And it helps in the off season. It helps in the training to, you know, try and be out in front and trying to do the right things. But, you know, sometimes it's sitting back and being in the middle of the lines, the back of the lines, and trying to just see how things operate, how things work. Because as I've been playing as long as I have ideas of how things should go. But coming to a new school, you kind of learn different ways, and that might be better, might be worse. But you got to be able to take everything as it's given to you. And I mean, I think also along with that is just playing with poise all the time, and trusting the guys around me, and trusting the coaches, and trusting Coach Freeman to put me in the best spot. I think if I can complete both those things and stay in the kind of the middle of the bumpy road that we're on together, then it'll be a good fun year.
Well, I'm excited to have you back for another year. I know you thought you were rid of me, so I appreciate you joining me for at least one more conversation, and we'll look forward to seeing the rib in a few weeks after Mom gets it all polished up nicely for you. Thanks, Sam, for joining us. Best of luck to you this season.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. Go Irish.
All right. We'll be taking your calls when we come back. Got questions about Sam Hartman's rib or anything else? Give us a call. We're looking forward to talking to you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am David Hale, not Paul Feinbaum, but that's okay. We're going to have some fun today. We've already had some fun. We had Marcus Freeman, head coach at Notre Dame, on earlier. And we just got done talking to Sam Hartman, Notre Dame's new quarterback, about his rib, which was removed last year. He had a All right, I'm going to play doctor here for a minute with no training. He had a blood clotting issue that required the removal of a rib. He missed the first week of the season because of this. That was all nothing compared to the true story, which is he kept that rib, and I'm quoting Sam here, with some meat on it in his refrigerator with plans to turn it into a necklace. And I can't decide whether that is the sign of a truly great leader that you want as your quarterback, or someone who may murder and devour his entire offensive line if the situation comes to it, like the zombie apocalypse. That may also be a possibility. The other thing we did talk to Sam Hartman about, which I think he put a positive spin on, as did Marcus Freeman, but Hartman came out to Notre Dame under the auspices of playing in a pro-style offense to build out his resume, which he played in a very unique, they call it the slow mesh offensive option offense at Wake Forest. If you watch it, you will not see another offense in the country running something like what Wake Forest does. And I think there was genuine questions about how that translates to the next level. So he wants to play in a pro-style offense for a offensive coordinator who he thinks can get him more prepared for the NFL. And that offensive coordinator is Tommy Rees at Notre Dame. And they have a good relationship, and that is part of the reason that Sam Hartman chooses to go to Notre Dame. And then not long after Sam Hartman gets out there, but pretty well after most of the best coaching candidates have already been swallowed up in the hiring cycle, Tommy Rees is off to Alabama to work for Nick Saban as their offensive coordinator. Notre Dame hires an insider, their tight ends coach, Jared Parker, formerly of Kentucky, a guy who has certainly been around and learned from Tommy Rees. But I think you have to genuinely question, like, we talk about the transfer portal, right? Well, this is one of those weird scenarios where the portal was not, like, the coach took the portal after the player took the portal. And that's fascinating in its own right for somebody like Sam Hartman, this is his sixth year. He's already accomplished so much. What does that transition mean? But on the flip side of it, you look at what Alabama's getting out of this, and I think it says something, if you're Alabama, that you have hired an offensive coordinator that someone of Sam Hartman's caliber wanted desperately to go play for, chose to go play for. And then I think you can ask a good question of, would you rather have first-time offensive coordinator Jared Parker and established quarterback Sam Hartman? Would you rather have Tommy Rees, who's kind of proven his bones a little bit, and a quarterback situation that is really in flux at Alabama? I think that's a fascinating debate, too, because right now, if I'm Notre Dame, I still feel pretty good about where I'm at. I think they're lacking some skill position talent. If I'm Alabama, I'm worried about the quarterback situation, and I think that doesn't mean there's not talent there. It's Alabama. Of course there's talent there. But the development of that talent is at the forefront, unlike it's been at Alabama in quite a while, and you are putting that on Tommy Rees to do. Is he up for that job of finding a quarterback among the barrel of spare parts that they seem to be sifting through right now and finding a guy who is worthy of leading Alabama's offense? I think this is a fascinating discussion. I've actually been working on a story on what quarterback development actually means in college football these days, because we don't live in a world where guys beyond Sam Hartman tend to spend 3, 4, 5 years at the same place. If you struggle, your school's looking for a transfer to come in as a replacement. If you're not getting the PT you think you deserve, you're looking to get out and go somewhere else. The offensive coordinator is more of a caretaker in most places. I don't think that is true at Alabama right now. It is fascinating to me how that situation will, and it's fascinating how little I think it seems to be talked about at the highest levels, because it's Alabama, and we assume, maybe justifiably so, that Alabama always has an answer, because they always have before. So, what do y'all think? Let's bring in Jim from Tuscaloosa. Jim, how are you feeling about your quarterback situation with Tommy Rees at OC right now?
I don't talk ball, but I'll tell you one thing. Nick Saban is going to straighten it out, because all he's got to do is change. The worst thing that ever happened the last 3 years, and there's no doubt about this, I know what I'm talking about. He had horrible, horrible defensive and offensive coordinators for the last 3 years, and that's the story of why Alabama, and they still almost won it all, except for the two, I don't care what they say, the two split ends that got hurt, they would probably won it all in spite of the horrible defensive and offensive coordinators, Golden and Bill, whatever his name was, I can't even remember his name, I'm so sorry. But anyway, that's the bottom line. And if, and Saban is pissed, he's going to get it straightened back. Believe me, he'll get it straightened out.
I don't disagree with you here, Jim. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that that we have had the greatest of play callers there at Alabama prior to this.
No. Stop right there. We had the worst play caller in the history in that Bill guy. What's his last name?
The Bill guy.
I can't even remember his last name. He was so terrible.
Well, listen.
I remember that moron Golden, the worst defensive guy in the world. And I tell you something else. I've got I better watch what I say. But let's put it this way: Pruitt will be back on staff before the season starts. Mark that down.
Bill O'Brien is his name, by the way.
Bill O'Brien, right.
He did work for Bill Belichick for quite some time as a very effective play caller because he had a man named Tom Brady throwing the ball.
Let me say this to you. I would have thought, by the way things went with him, I would have thought that that Georgia got him to come to Alabama. You know what I mean?
three-dimensional chess of Kirby Smart maneuvering Bill O'Brien to Alabama to undermine the Nick Saban Alabama legacy.
You can say that if you want to. I'm making a point. You know, I'm not Sue. I'm making a point. But here's what I want to say. Who made Kirby Smart? Who made him?
It was, I believe he worked for a man by the name of Nick Saban, yes.
Yeah, you're a little bit slow, pal.
Hey, you're not the first person to tell me that. I don't disagree with you. And the fact of the matter is, when you watched Alabama's offense over the last couple of years, when they had all of the pieces, Bryce Young, who is elite, elite, elite college quarterback, and you have really good wide receivers on the outside, and you've got good running backs, and you've got a good offensive line, things went fine with Bill O'Brien there. But then when, Jameson Williams gets hurt, well, now we got a problem. When John Metchie gets hurt, well, now we got a problem. When Bryce Young is out, it looks like
you wouldn't have had a problem if you hadn't had Bill O'Brien, even when they got hurt. He's the problem, I'm telling you. Well, he was the problem.
I do think that there
I'm
is.
I'm talking about the worst offensive play caller in the history of football, of Alabama football. I mean, he had all this talent, and he was sending the ball up the middle, three out of four downs most of the time.
Guy's
a moron. I'm telling the guy is a moron. Moron, period.
I do appreciate this perspective, and frankly.
Well, I'm emphatic because let me tell you something, pal. I know ball. I do know it.
And Bill O'Brien clearly doesn't. I think is what we're coming
I really
away from.
I don't believe
this
he does. If he does, I think he was trying to throw a game. You would have thought he had money on the other side.
I'll tell you what actually got me about Bill O'Brien so much last year is I spent a good bit of time around Jahmyr Gibbs when he was at Georgia Tech, and that guy was a superstar on a team that had nothing else. And then Jahmyr Gibbs gets to Alabama, and they really used him.
He did not use him
until Bryce Young was hurt, and then they used him more, and he was great.
By the way, there's another problem. You can't depend on Bryce Young or any quarterback as much as they did depending on Bryce Young. That's not Saban's style. I don't know why Saban put up with that shit, that crap. But I'll tell you this, he's not going to put up with it anymore. He's a team guy, and that wasn't a team situation. I mean, you got one man. Bryce Young is not a one-man team, and that was proven last year. He never won a championship trying to be a one-man team, even though he was great. No doubt about it. He won some games that they shouldn't have lost. They should have lost. Bryce himself won them. But still, he's not a one-man team, and the team don't revive well around that situation.
Well, I don't agree with you. Jim, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it. And I got to be honest with you. I think that Jim might be emphatic here. He may be using some words we're not supposed to use on the radio here, but I don't think he's necessarily wrong, in which that was an offense that was effectively Bryce Young, and really hope we can get something else done. And I don't think it'll be that this year. All right, let's go to line three. We got Justin calling from Auburn. I believe, Justin, you have a response here to Jim's thoughts?
Yeah, I've always been told that when somebody shows you who they are or tells you who they are, believe them, and Jim's a dumbass. I'm sorry, but anybody that can sit there and say that two coordinators that were ranked in the top 10 consistently throughout the country, are terrible and not good coordinators, I mean, you're an idiot, man. Like, you're a dumbass. Do you know how many players or teams would love to have had those two coaches on their team? I mean, it's ridiculous to sit there and say that. And you, of course, he don't talk ball, but he knows ball. You don't know ball, dude. You're a dumbass.
We all know ball. If you have a phone and you can call into a program like this, you know ball. That's the standard that we all live by. Look, Bill O'Brien is a fine coach who has had some success coaching at both the NFL and the college level. I am not going to knock Bill O'Brien's credentials. He knows way more about football than I ever will. I will say that watching Alabama throughout a good portion of the last few years, there were times that you scratch your head a little bit and you say, are we utilizing the talent there as best that they can be? Have they been recruiting at the best possible level for these at positions of need, particularly the skill position? Is the play calling what you want it to be at Alabama and you need it to be at certain times? And look, you certainly can't put all of this at the feet of Bill O'Brien regardless, or lay it all onto Tommy Rees to figure out. The fact of the matter is there has not been wide receiver development via not the portal over the last couple of years that you needed. You can't argue with the fact that here we are entering fall camp in 2023, and we don't have any sort of real clear answer at quarterback. So that, to me, you can point in at the offensive coordinators all you want. At the end of the day, the players got to go out and make some plays, and we're used to Alabama having all of the best players that, and probably some very good coaches, too. I don't know. I think it's more of a question this year. All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your questions. We'll talk more of about Bill O'Brien, maybe insult his family too. What? No, we're not going to do that. But we will take more of your calls. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am David Hale. Let's see, what have we talked about here in the first hour? We have talked about Notre Dame football. We have talked about Tommy Rees. We have talked about Bill O'Brien being arguably the worst play caller in the history of college football. That's up for debate still. We've talked about Sam Hartman having his rib removed and turned into a necklace. And my pal Matt Brown tweeted at me, and I think this is just a perfect idea. This should be a rivalry trophy. Sam Hartman's rib as a new rivalry trophy. And I will point out, Notre Dame, Sam Hartman's current school, plays Wake Forest, Sam Hartman's old school, in late November. And if that is not the Sam Hartman's rib necklace game, then I quit college football. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. We are playing that game with Sam Hartman's rib on the line. Speaking of on the line, we got James from Alabama calling in. Let's see what James got to say. James, how are you, sir?
Dude. Clear this up for me. So the guy had his rib removed. Was this a true rib or a floating rib? Which rib? You have any idea? And is this like, is this for real, or is this just some more weaving and bobbing that we hear about?
This is a great question. Given my medical expertise, which I did watch some reruns of ER recently, I have absolutely no idea what kind of rib it was. I believe there's a rib like under where like his heart is. And this was a legitimate, like, scary medical situation for Sam Hartman. This happened last August, midway through or part of the way through fall camp. He was basically, if they had not caught this when they did, he could have died from it. It's a blood clotting issue where if it had gets to his heart, it can kill you almost instantaneously. So there was a lot of genuine concern about Sam Hartman.
Okay, so what you're telling me is there was a legitimate medical reason.
This was not like a Marilyn Manson situation, as best I can tell. This was a legitimate medical emergency to have his rib removed. What was not a medical emergency, and perhaps in no way legitimate whatsoever, was that someone allowed him to just keep this rib, and then he apparently had it in his fridge for the next, 8 months or something like that. I'm not sure if that's a great idea or condoned in the medical community.
Okay, well, that's something else you could do some research on, right?
Well, this is my question for you, James. If you had one of your ribs removed and kept it in your fridge, what are the odds you come home a little late one night, maybe you've had a few, and you're thinking, like, I'm hungry, starving
okay,
here.
Well,
what do we got in the fridge?
Let me back up right here. And excuse me for, how can I put this and not be taking this, let's put it this way. Outside any serious problems, and God willing, we will not have to have a rib removed. And next part of that question, I gave alcohol consumption up back in March of 2002. So unless it's in
congratulations to you
or NyQuil, I don't consume it. That's just not something I do.
That's first of all, congratulations to you. That's awesome. Secondly, I would hope. I think this should be everyone's goal: is the stuff that is currently inside of you remains inside of you as long as you're on this earth. Like, the less stuff you have to have taken out, as a general rule, the better. I just came across this, and thanks again, James, for the call. Good questions, valid questions. Someone, they don't know who yet, but I just saw this come across the wires, as they say in the news business. Someone mailed a finger to the president of France, and I'm not saying Sam Hartman did it, just not saying that he didn't do it. It's something to think about. I'm not telling the French authorities to go to Notre Dame, as they call it there, and investigate Sam Hartman. I'm just saying we can't rule him out. That's something to think about. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about success. We asked Sam Hartman about what constitutes success for him. I want to talk about what constitutes success for some folks around the SEC. We'll talk about that on the other side of the hour. Thanks again for listening. I'm David Hale, Paul Feinbaum Show. More coming up next.